On Tuesday, Congress returned from its recess to complete the annual funding process. The deadline, the end of the month, or face a government shutdown. Senate committees approved their appropriations bills pretty smoothly, but negotiations in the House proving to be more difficult. Wisconsin Democratic Representative Mark Pocan was on the morning show on WPR yesterday and shared his thoughts.
You know, normally the appropriations process isn't this messed up. During the Trump presidency, we still had people on appropriations, the committee that I serve on that do the budget bills, were people who still were rational, I guess is the best way to say it, to get things done. So, you know, there's a saying that there's Democrats, Republicans, and appropriators. The problem is when Kevin McCarthy became speaker, part of the deal he cut in order to become speaker was he put some of the more extremist members onto the committee, and, you know, they just didn't do their job this time for the first time ever.
Our next guest is a congressional correspondent here with us for a look at the roadblocks to a funding bill and yet another shutdown standoff potentially in the works. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how this annual government funding process works? Are you worried about the risks of a government shutdown? And in the House, do you want Republicans to use this process to negotiate things like spending cuts, restrictions related to abortion, and more? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Lisa Mascaro is the chief congressional correspondent for the Associated Press. Lisa, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
We just heard there a Wisconsin Democrat diagnosing what could be the problem here. Representative Pocan making the case that it's what's going on within the Republican caucus in the House. It's a big part of the story, Lisa. What is going on there and how does it affect these spending bills?
Yeah, absolutely. The House is in a real tangle again. In fact, the chamber came to a standstill here this afternoon as there's just a lot of infighting over how they're going to try to keep the government funded. The core of the issue is the conservative flank, those hard right Republicans that really power the majority here in the House for Speaker McCarthy. They are refusing to give their votes to go along with the spending bills at the sort of level that they're being set at. They really disagreed with that big deal that Speaker McCarthy and President Joe Biden reached earlier this year. The two set the spending levels for the year. It was part of a big deal back in spring to avert a big crisis over the debt ceiling. And now that they need to start passing the bills to fund the government, the conservative Republicans are just saying, no way, this is not what we wanted then. We voted against it, and we're not going to let it happen now. And so Speaker McCarthy is really trying to float other ideas for how to get maybe some of the bills through the House. He's looking at trying to pass a big defense bill, maybe a homeland security bill. But even this afternoon, a test vote that was coming up on the big defense bill to fund the Pentagon and related defense needs here in the country, the chamber just came to a complete standstill because he doesn't have the votes. And of course, Democrats are not interested in voting for the bills that McCarthy is putting on the floor because they have a lot of policies in them that the Democrats oppose. You know, Republicans want to do away with just a lot of different policies that are important to the Democrats. In the Pentagon, for example, the Republicans are trying to strip out a lot of the diversity and inclusion initiatives that the Pentagon has tried to put in place. Republicans call these the woke policies that they're trying to get rid of. And, you know, so that just makes it hard for Democrats to come on board. So these are the challenges that Speaker McCarthy faces. And there's not really a way out at this point. There's just maybe 10 days when the House is in session before September 30th. And that's when government funding runs out and when we would risk a federal shutdown But, you know, starting October 1st, if the Congress can't get these bills approved and get them up to President Biden's desk for signatures.
Let's give a listen to one of the members of the Further Right Freedom Caucus, about 45 members of the House. Here's Freedom Caucus Chair, U.S. Representative from Pennsylvania, Scott Perry.
We're here to put our foot down and say to this place right here, it stops now. The power of the purse is in the legislature. And the way you stop all this craziness of the Biden administration, the tyranny of the Biden administration, is to stop giving them money.
So that number I said, about 45 seats in the House with that narrow Republican majority you mentioned, makes it hard to pass things potentially. And there's been some talk from other members of that caucus that, like, hey, if we don't get what we want from Speaker McCarthy from our original deal with him, maybe he doesn't get to be Speaker anymore. How heated are things within the Republican caucus?
Well, that's exactly right. This threat of an ouster has hung over McCarthy since he won the gavel back in January. Folks might remember that was just a very contested vote. It took him 15 rounds day after day on the House floor to win the support from his own Republican majority to lead and to be the Speaker. When he finally won, he had reached an agreement with a lot of the holdouts, many of these same conservatives. And now they are holding him to those deals, and they're saying that he's not keeping up his end of the bargain. He faces this threat of ouster. It's not an idle threat. It is available to the conservatives. They have an ability through the House rules to file what's called a motion to vacate the chair. And, you know, they would need a majority of the House to vote for that. Now, they might not have a majority on the Republican side to oust Speaker McCarthy, but certainly Democrats might be interested in joining them on that. So it's a real risk. It's the tangle that Speaker McCarthy started his tenure with, and it's one that is hangs over him now through every step of his way here on Capitol Hill.
Talking to Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Associated Press, about funding negotiations going on right now in Congress, some roadblocks as we're hearing in the House. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see come out of this? Do you worry about the risk of at least partial government shutdown if deals aren't reached? Should Republicans on the right in the Freedom Caucus hold firm, block funding bills unless their demands are met? What do you want to see from Speaker McCarthy? Should he continue to be Speaker McCarthy? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Lisa, let's drop in on the Senate for a minute. I mean, it seems like, you know, it's not all love and harmony there, but it seems like the appropriations process is smoother on that side of the Capitol.
Well, yes, and this is fascinating. For the first time in a number of years, the Senate, sort of looking across the across the halls to the other side of the building, sees what's going on in the House. And this summer, they just started working together in a bipartisan way to pass the spending bills out of the different committees. There's 12 bills to fund the government. We don't often hear about those individual bills anymore because usually they can't. Neither chamber can get them out of their committees. Usually what we hear about are these big, you know, we call them omnibus packages that are a big wrap-up of all the bills. But the Senate, for the first time in years, did its work and passed each of these bills out of the committee, and now they're bringing them to the floor. They're kind of grouping them together in what we call a minibus, maybe three bills at a time grouped together. And it looks like they're going to start passing those in the Senate in a bipartisan way to get them over to the House and kind of pressure the House, you know, and say, look, we've reached agreement. We are working toward this agreement that the president and Speaker McCarthy, you know, had made last year. Some changes, some increases and shifts here and there. But for the most part, they're trying to work together to get that done and apply some pressure on the House. But as you heard from that comment from the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, Scott Perry, the conservatives in the House are in no mood to negotiate. And in fact, they want to work the other way and jam the Senate. You know, incidentally, We had news today with Senator Mitt Romney announcing that he would not be seeking re-election. And that shows you a bit of the frustration here in Congress that, you know, some of these longtime leaders, people that have really made a name for themselves in this country, trying to, you know, be moderate or somewhat, you know, more moderate and trying to operate, you know, are experience the frustration and the concerns about the way these things are running here.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Dave is with us in Toma. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi. I think that they're just confirming that nowadays they're more interested in the welfare of their own jobs and the party than they are of the constituents.
And Dave, are you talking about Congress in general, or one party or the other, or the whole mess?
The whole mess nowadays.
Dave, thanks a lot for the call. I think Dave's not alone. Lisa, traditionally, Congress as a whole has very low approval ratings for the public. Is there concern from members of the House about what this looks like to the public at large? Or, as our caller suggests, are they more worried about the people who are going to give them money and vote for them in their local district?
You know, it's a fascinating question, right? And I think we see, you know, all different takes on that. I think one thing, you know, for certain is that, you know, the country is facing a lot of, you know, a lot of issues, a lot of concerns. I mean, there's a big war overseas. There are new developments in technology. There are needs across this country. Anyone who's driven across the states see, you know, we are in a changing environment, a changing era in this country, and there's a lot of attention, and sometimes Congress does seem to be stuck in some of these constant battles over, you know, these kind of issues that maybe don't reach the broad scope of all the concerns out there that Americans might have, you know, trying to have jobs and be able to get their kids to school and ensure that the country is safe and that technology is safe and that there is, you know, good infrastructure and all those sort of basic needs that folks have, you know, and yet Congress often is sort of fighting what might seem like battles that don't always seem to directly address what's going on with folks back home.
We're talking to Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Associated Press, about funding negotiations in Congress and the possibility of a government shutdown. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with Republicans on the Freedom Caucus looking for some spending cuts, policy changes before they sign on to appropriation bills? Is it worth the possibility of a shutdown? If so, what do you want to see from your representatives from Wisconsin over the next few weeks? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Associated Press, looking at this year's funding negotiations in Congress, the possibility of some form of government shutdown by the end of the month. You can join in with your thoughts. Questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Katie is with us in Marshfield. Katie, hi.
Hi. Hey, I have a comment about what these guys are doing in Washington and even in Madison. And my comment is this. Their jobs apparently don't seem to be very well defined, because I don't see that they're doing anything for the people who have voted for them. What about redefining what their duties are, for one thing? And then what about a national movement that says, do your job? Because they're not doing their job. That's not what we elected them for. And, I mean, how many of us would get to conduct ourselves in employment in the manner that they are?
Katie, thanks. I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. Lisa, when I look at congressional elections each year, it seems like there's a majority of safe seats, some safe Republican and safe Democrat. There's fairly few members of Congress who have to look over their shoulder at the possibility that voters might toss them out.
This is true. The districts have just become so solidly sort of partisan in recent years, the past decade or two. You really see the firming up of sort of more Democratic leaning districts on the left, more Republican leaning districts on the right. I think we have about 15, 18 Republicans, for example, that are in districts that President Biden won, and just a handful of Democrats that represent districts that former President Trump won. So it really shows you how safe these seats are for so many people. For many of them, they're more concerned about a primary challenge, somebody more liberal or more conservative coming after them. And you really see that particularly on the right flank, where they do have more of these vocal and organized and energized conservatives on the farther right coming after the more moderate Republicans. And that is what's at stake for them as they try to make their decisions, knowing that they could be primaried at any time. And, you know, it is an interesting crossroads we're at. You know, Congress, you know, it's the first article there, you know, it's the first branch of government in many ways. It's the branch that is closest to the people. Needs to be representative of the people. That's the way our government was designed. And especially as we see the presidency becoming, you know, tumultuous at times with the different reach of executive power, both in former Trump's administration and the, you know, the efforts now in Biden's administration to sort of take charge where Congress has failed, you know, that gets into some really difficult terrain because we are supposed to have a Congress that represents the people, passes legislation, and tries to move away from a sort of strong, you know, executive that can take charge in certain areas, you know, away from Congress, particularly in the spending, you know, in the power of the purse. And so it is important for people to sort of be aware of what Congress does and be informed about their member. Often you hear people say they like their member of Congress, the person who represents them. You know, they just don't like the others. And, you know, that is also a sort of difficult issue because these guys all have to try to get along. You know, it's a big country and there's a lot of different regions, a lot of different needs, and a lot of different cultures within this country as they try to come together and figure stuff out that's best for the nation, you know, often with some difficulty to be sure.
Thanks a lot for the call, Katie. Peter is with us now in southeastern Wisconsin. Peter, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What'd you want to bring up?
Well, you asked if we're afraid of the government shutting down. I'm not afraid at all. From what I understand, they're going to continue giving Social Security and Medicare benefits. And, you know, I think there's only 5% from what I understand that would actually get shut down. And, you know, when Obama was president and this happened, he made it as painful as possible and shut down the national parks. Biden does not have to do that. And inflation is so high because we keep spending money from the government. So I think we really got to cut back. And if they have to shut down for a while before somebody changes things, I'm fine with that.
Peter, thanks for the call. And Peter, I think sharing the sentiment of some of the Republicans in Congress who are open to the idea of a shutdown. What Peter said, Lisa, is true. It's a non-essential functions, however that ends up being defined, is what would end in the case of the shutdown, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there are ways that they can try to stem the losses of the shutdown, try to eliminate certain aspects of government from being shut down. But that also takes some agreement from Congress, you know, to do it that way. And, you know, as we've seen, it's very difficult for them to agree on so many of these things. I was talking with Senator Lisa Murkowski late last week for a story that we did over the weekend. And she said, look, you know, I'll talk to you about a shutdown. She talked about federal permits that need to be provided to certain fishermen in Alaska who are starting their fishing season. And she said, during the last shutdown, you know, those permits couldn't be obtained. And it really
became difficult. So I think it depends. It depends on certain government agencies, and it depends. You know, we talk about trying to protect Social Security checks. Yes and no. At some point, you know, if the workers are told, you know, that they aren't to come to work because they won't get paid, then, you know, those checks wouldn't be issued. So it does depend, and it depends on how long Congress is willing to go to shut things down. You know, how many days? I think one of the longest shutdowns we had was something like 30 days. These things can be quick, and they can get a resolution, or they can drag and perhaps cause more, you know, deeper pain than at the outset there.
Thanks a lot for that call. Just in our last few minutes, Lisa, what are you watching for next on these appropriations bills?
Oh, goodness. Well, I think for the moment, as we said at the outset, they've had to sort of shut down the floor activity today here in the House because the Republicans are unable to pass this big defense bill. They were trying to vote to launch that, and they couldn't get it launched today because of the opposition from conservatives. So they've got one more day at work here this week, tomorrow. And I think we want to see if they're able to break the logjam and get it rolling, or if Speaker McCarthy is sort of back at square one and doesn't really have a plan B for getting these bills off the floor. It seems right now they're in a real jam up. So we've got to see overnight if they can get to some resolution here and get things moving again tomorrow.
Lisa, thanks for bringing us up to date today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
That's Lisa Mascaro, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Associated Press. We talked to her today about federal funding negotiations going on now in Congress, whether the holdup could lead to some form of government shutdown. Deadline, end of the month.